meeting of the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. If you could all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, could you do the roll call, please?
Okay. Commissioner DeJarnes is present, that's me. Commissioner DeShano?
Here.
Commissioner Estelle?
Here.
Commissioner Kolek?
Here.
Commissioner Longton?
Here.
Commissioner Pike?
Here.
Commissioner Poole?
Present.
Commissioner Saragusa? Oh, no, he's not here no more. Commissioner Lundy?
Here.
Okay, we all here.
Okay, so we have a quorum. At this time, I'll call for any additions.
No, I have no additions. I would suggest, however, when we have additions or changes to the agenda, that we take old business item 23688669 Route 163 and new business item A, Connecticut General Statutes 824 Review 669 Route 163, discuss them together. They do need to have separate motions, but I think that discussing the applications together, some of the questions are sort of, overlapped. So I would ask for those to be heard together.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Good.
That's A and B, right?
No,
C and A.
C under old business, A under new business.
8C and 9A.
Okay.
All right. Next, we'll move on to approval of the minutes from the July 25th, 2023 regular meeting minutes. Is there a
motion? I'll make the motion to approve them.
Second.
I'll second it.
Commissioner Pike and Commissioner Poole are first and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining?
Abstain.
Okay. Commissioner Estelle and Commissioner DeShano have abstained. So the minutes have been approved. At this time, I'll ask for remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda. There are none. So we will move on to item number 7, which is public hearings and applications. Item A is a public hearing, 23ZC2, Zoning Regulation Text Amendment to add Section 21B.1-2, Prohibition, and Section 21B.2.1A-B, Prohibit Retail Cannabis Establishments. The applicant is the Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. The application was received July 25th, 2023, and the public hearing is set for this evening. So at this time, would anyone like to make a motion to open the public hearing? No motion required, apparently. I need to catch up on Robert's rules. Thank you. All right. Liz, what should we know about this application?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is read the stat of the exhibit list into the record. So, and then I'll just review the proposed language again with you, which I did at the July meeting, and I'll read my staff report. So, the exhibits are as follows. Exhibit 1, copy of the application for proposed amendment to zoning regulations. Exhibit 2, copy of letter to Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments in accordance with the Connecticut General Statutes 8-3B, dated July 21st, 2023. Original application signed by PZC Chairperson Sarah Lundy, dated July 24th, 2023. Email to Town Clerk's Office requesting proposed amendment to zoning regulations be posted in the Town Clerk's Office on July 24th, 2023. Number 5, date stamp copy of posted proposed amendment to zoning regulations received by the town clerk on July 24th, 2023 at 2:56 p.m. Item 6, copy of emailed letters to area municipalities dated July 24th, 2023. A, Town Clerk, Town of Waterford. B, Town Clerk, Town of Salem. C, Town Clerk, Town of Preston. D, City Clerk, City of Norwich. E, Town Clerk, Town of Ledger. F, Town Clerk, Town of Slime, and G, Town Clerk, Town of Bosra. Exhibit 7, copy of legal ad to be published on the town website on August 7th, 2023. Item 8, copy of legal ad to be published in the day on August 11th, 2023 and August 18th, 2023. letter from Exhibit 9, letter from Nicole Haggerty of Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments dated August 17th, 2023, and the final exhibit is number 10, which is my staff report dated today. So I'm just going to quickly go through. We did review the proposed language before. This was set for a public hearing, but the purpose of this application is to propose draft zoning regulation amendments to add a new section, 21B.1-2, prohibition, and new section 21B.2.1A-B, prohibit retail cannabis establishments. So the language would be as follows. Section 21B, prohibition. Purpose 21B.1, purpose. The section has been adopted to list uses prohibited in the town of Mapa. So other things could be added to it in the future because this section is added. But right now you're adding 21 point, you're proposing to add 21B.2 prohibited uses. Number one, retail cannabis establishments. A, definitions, cannabis, marijuana as defined in section 21A-240 of the Connecticut General Statutes. Number two, cannabis establishment, a producer, dispensary facility, cultivator, micro-cultivator, retailer, hybrid retailer, food and beverage manufacturer, product manufacturer. Each one of these cannabis establishments has the same definition as set forth in Connecticut General Statute Section 21A-420 as may be amended. B, prohibition of retail and hybrid retail cannabis establishments. Number one, no building or premises in the town of Mottville shall be used for a retail or hybrid retail cannabis establishment. Number two, any existing retail or hybrid cannabis establishment may continue to operate and expand in its existing location in compliance with zoning regulations Section 10, Commercial 1 District, Section 17 site plans, and Section 18 off-street parking regulations, and any regulations that may apply as may be amended. These, this language was reviewed and approved by the town attorney prior to coming to you for to set it for public hearing this month at your last meeting. I'm going to go quickly through my, as you know, right now there's a moratorium in place on all cannabis establishments, and that was to allow the commission to look at regulations, look at regulating cannabis establishments in the town, and that includes all of them, cultivators, so on and so forth. This commission, the first thing they wanted to do was they had instructed me to put together this application to prohibit retail or hybrid retail. So this application is only to prohibit those while it continues to work on regulations for other uses. Okay? So I wanted to make that clear here. The moratorium will still be in place on other regulations, other establishments until November, but we will have to start making a decision on those soon how you would like to regulate.
Why couldn't it be for any? What is the problem with it being just for any? Who added the extra wording at the end?
Well, we made that decision.
Yes. Who's we?
The commission.
In June.
Everybody sat down and made and wrote that.
This was brought before us
July.
No, I'm asking. Everybody sat down and wrote that together.
No. We asked Liz to write it and bring it to us.
And I brought it to the commission at the July meeting. And the commission was
and it's been vetted by
the commission had no say of writing anything that was there.
Yes, they could have added anything at the July meeting, but the commission, were you here in July?
All right, proceed.
Okay, so anyway, this you asked staff to write it. I wrote it. I sent it off to the town attorney for review and approval and comment. He made a couple comments, which I had done. We brought it to you in July. You guys asked for that to go forth for a public hearing. So it was that was my first comment. It was drafted by the Director of Land Use and Development and the town attorney at the direction of the PZC on June 27th. That's when you first directed me to do that. The application was referred to Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments as required. Nicole Haggerty, Planner 2, a CCOG respondent on 8-17-23. Based on review of the material provided, I have determined that the proposed amendments are not likely to have a negative intermunicipal impact. The application was referred to adjacent towns as a courtesy. It's not required by the statute, but we referred it to them anyway as a courtesy. No responses were received from adjacent towns. I sent a copy of the proposed amendment to Dean Marino, the botanist, and have received no comments at this time. Per its request, I sent a copy of the application and proposed text to the botanist. As you know, that in the proposed text, the commission asks that the existing establishment be allowed to continue and expand its existing location. So that's what that other language was for. The public hearing was noticed in the day on August 11, 2023, and August 18, 2023, as required. The application was posted in the town clerk's office on July 24, 2023, as required. I don't have a recommendation at this time because, pending the opening and closing of the public hearing, I have written motions, but none of those are recommended at this time. It's, if you should choose to do one or the other after the hearing is closed, they're there for you. Okay?
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Liz before we open for public comment?
I've been over this pretty thoroughly.
Questions? No? Okay. So at this time, I'll invite public comment. If anyone would like to speak in favor of the application, which is to add a new section, prohibition, and another new section, prohibition retail cannabis establishments. If you are in favor of that and would like to make comment, please feel free to step forward.
For the record, Harry Heller, 736 Route 32 in Uncasville. I'm neither in favor nor opposed to the amendment, but just a point of clarification. I think we had the discussion back in the June or July meeting. At that time, the commission was considering banning all cannabis establishments, including grow facilities, and we had some discussion about the possible economic benefits to the town of the grow facilities and the taxes that they might generate. So I think that's why there may have been an amendment to the language at that point after that discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney Heller. If anyone else would like to speak in favor of the application, if anyone would like to speak against the application, anyone in favor, anyone opposed, in favor, or opposed? Okay. So at this time, I would like to close the public hearing.
Motion.
A motion to close the public hearing.
I move that the public hearing be closed.
Okay. Commissioners Poole and Commissioners Longton have first and seconded. Any discussion about closing the public hearing? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay. The public hearing has been closed. Thank you. So now we'll move on to discussion and decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission of this same text amendment. And I will open the floor to the commissioners. Again, I would just like to remind everyone that everyone will have an opportunity to speak. Would anyone like to begin? Okay.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. I'm not in favor of this prohibition regulation for one reason. Okay, last time in the history of the United States when they had a big prohibition, what happened? That was during the alcohol prohibition. We had, you call it the criminal element come in there. Even when we had marijuana, it was under crime. Marijuana is a ditch weed. And all of a sudden, the only reason they made it illegal is after prohibition of alcohol, after, you know, when was no longer staying there, Antauer had to have himself a job. So he said, what can I use? Oh, we'll make marijuana illegal. And so that's how it all got started. And then from there, it just mushroomed all over there. And then when Nixon came in power, he did his war against drugs. And that was against, okay, the hippies smoke grass, so how are we going to keep the hippies online? We'll bust them on marijuana charges. Okay? The blacks, well, they use heroin. So How are we gonna keep the blacks in line? We're gonna criminalize marijuana. I mean, heroin. Okay, those are bad. You know, heroin's bad. But that thing about putting a prohibition on it. And I tell you something. Like Liz says, start a retail store in the town. Costs quite a bit of money, and so it's. I think you're just worrying about nothing, everything else there. And then on the top of that, if somebody puts up an establishment to, say, make edibles or stuff like that, that's a lot of equipment. That's also a lot of property tax. And my opinion is you're just worrying about stuff that I don't need to worry about, you know? And that's it. And that's all I can say.
Thank you very much. Any other comments, Commissioner Stell?
Yeah, I apologize for missing both the July meeting and the June meeting, so I do feel absent. I was not aware that we were recommending a prohibition to any new cannabis-free establishments. What I think that does, and I know the botanist isn't going to like me very much, is sets up a monopoly for them in the town of Mottville.
Mm.
Do we limit it to maybe the number of... I know there's a limit to the number of package stores we can have in town.
May I speak?
Yes.
That's regulated by the Department of Consumer Protection.
Yes. Okay.
The commission can regulate retail. Remember, this is just for retail and hybrid retail.
Right.
This isn't for cultivators or other cannabis.
Yeah, I understand that.
Again, the commission can certainly regulate retail and hybrid retail establishments. But in June, this commission came to a consensus. They wanted me to put this application to bring it up.
Commissioner Saragusa had made a motion for a prohibition, and it was
voted on in favor by the commission.
It was voted to ask staff to put this application.
It was
gotcha.
Not put the language together to do it properly.
So, I mean, just to be clear, I'm opposed to a prohibition, a blanket prohibition of retail establishments. I do think this commission should be open to other establishments that wish to open, but under certain guidelines and restrictions that we or whoever needs to put in place. It's my two cents.
Commissioner Stell. Commissioner Longton.
Question for Liz. This is for the six-month moratorium?
No.
This is
blanket prohibition. So there's already a six-month moratorium in place. So right now there can be no cannabis establishments in Mottville until November when the moratorium expires. The theory behind doing that moratorium was it could give the commission time to look at regulating establishments, as Commissioner Stell said, you know, putting restrictions on them or whatnot. The Connecticut General Statutes allows towns to do that. They also allow towns to prohibit them. Again, this is a motion that was made by Commissioner Saragusa. The commission voted for me to draft language and put forth an application on behalf of the commission and have to go through all the statutory requirements of public hearings. And so that's where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this prohibition is in addition to the temporary moratorium.
No, so if this goes into effect, this would be your first sort of regulation of cannabis establishments, and you would be prohibiting them. That would... be a permanent, this would be a permanent change.
But only retail and hybrid.
Only retail and hybrid establishments. And it also, because, you know, we have an existing facility in town and you don't want to limit them from expanding by making them non-conforming use. So the town attorney and I added language that would allow, if this were to be approved and retail establishments were prohibited, that this particular establishment that's already here could expand. So if this is voted on favorably tonight, there will be no, it would go into effect on an effective date, and no retail or hybrid retail would be allowed in the town of Mottville
beyond
going forward. Right.
Well,
it's separate and apart from the moratorium.
The moratorium would remain in place for the other uses.
Yes.
But it doesn't affect the one that's currently here now. That one's
correct.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes. So
that's right.
The moratorium is still in place. So this will make, if this were to be approved, it would make the prohibition of those retail and hybrid retailers permanent. And that would be one, it would go past the moratorium. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments? I have one. I know that in the past we've talked about our concern. You know, we know that Connecticut imposes a 3% municipal sales tax on the gross receipts of sale of cannabis by retailers, hybrid retailers, and microcultivators. Some of our concern was that it's dictated that we can only use those funds in certain ways. But I did a little bit of research on what we can use them for, and it's streets. So there's
four,
six different ways.
Oh, there's six.
Six, yes. So the first is streetscape improvements and other neighborhood developments in communities where cannabis retailers, hybrid retailers, or micro-cultivators are located. Second is education programs or youth employment and training programs in the municipality. Third is services for individuals living in the municipality who are released from DOC custody, probation, or parole. Fourth is mental health and addiction services. Fifth is youth service bureaus and municipal juvenile review boards. And sixth is community civic engagement efforts. And I know that there was some concern over having to spend funds towards some of those things, but in everything that I've read in the regulations, we do not have to spend funds on all of those items. We can spend the tax funds on some of those items or not others.
Can you read the last one again, please?
Sure. Community civic engagement efforts. Okay.
Can you explain that?
Yep.
So, an example?
Sure. I believe that would be something. Liz, if you think of anything off the top of your head, let me.
I have, for other reasons, I asked our finance director just last week to give me the total of what we have collected so far and what is going to be billed. But maybe a community engagement would be, just for example, it goes to youth services, they put up posters.
But youth services already listed on there as a different...
Right. Civic right. engagement, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, a public meeting on educating people on cannabis.
My takeaway is that they're not giving you, the towns, a lot of leeway on some things that maybe it could be used for, right. which... So, and that's so, the state, not the town.
So
that's the state.
What was the very first one?
To continue what I was saying, it's streetscape improvements. I have a bit of a different opinion. I do feel as though we have more leeway than we had previously mm-hmm. thought or discussed. And then I also did some additional research on statewide cannabis retail sales by month. And since the beginning of January, it has continued to double month over month. Continued to improve month over month, resulting in over $12 million in sales for adult use. Mm-hmm. And just as an example, the city of New Haven received over $50,000 in municipal taxes from one establishment in just 2 months.
Now, what has the town used money that they've received so far? Because they have received money, just say, for the last 3 months. What have they used the money for the last
this
3 months?
This town or New Haven?
No, Montville. I don't really care what New Haven's doing.
I don't know the answer to that, okay. But I do know that collected to date for January through April, for 4 months, we collected $81,961.50. For May and June, we will be billing the botanists for $48,970.37. So you're looking at, you know, substantial amount of money here.
And,
but even in the last
six
months, it was my understanding that they bill them every
yes.
month on the sales, and there's a percentage, 3%.
No, that's what we collected.
Right. Okay. So, but we've done that just even since the beginning of this year. And my question is, what have we spent any of that money on the town?
So I can answer that question.
What?
All right. If you guys follow town council meeting and board of ed meetings, you'll know that during the budget season, the town council approved using $200,000 of the 3% money for Project Courage and youth services and programs for students at the school. So $200,000 has already been earmarked for the school for those programs.
So that's over and above what the school gets.
Yes, it was specifically targeted because of the six avenues here.
And the school gets how much? How much? What was approved for the school?
$43 million.
Okay.
But that can't be taken out of context, okay?
I'm just asking a question.
All right, because there's a lot of explanation on why they got $43 million. I just want to emphasize that the town has committed $200,000 of the 3%.
It isn't based on scores.
All right, well,
but wait a minute.
Okay,
so if I could continue with my comments.
Yeah, the total, I just want to throw out the total collected in June in the first 6 months that's due or collected or is being billed is $130,931. So that's for the first half of the year.
Okay, thank you. So just to wrap up my own comments. Old Lyme is the only other town in New London County that has so far put a prohibition on retail establishments. So we are, if we were to approve these amendments, we would be towards the forefront of doing so. I feel as though keeping the moratorium in place and working towards perhaps some more comprehensive regulations may help us consider all angles of this a little bit further than the few short meetings that we've had thus far to discuss. Any other comments?
Yes. What was the very first one?
Streetscape improvements and other neighborhood developments in communities where retailers, hybrid retailers, or micro cultivators are located.
Okay. Well, my opinion was if they went to streetscape, you call it area beautification. You call it clean up the streets, make it a more habitable and everything else. So that's what I like streetscape is? Like landscaping?
Streetscaping is, yes. So planting trees.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like quite an open definition.
Yes, you know, I mean, area beautification, you know?
Sidewalks.
You know, and then something with, you said for, what's the other one? Okay. It can be used like for Parks and Rec for, you know, say, fixing up Camp Oakdale. Can it be used for, you call it, anything that would benefit the community?
No.
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 I mean, the community of Montville.
No.
Okay.
It specifically states the streetscape is for the vicinity of the establishment. Am I correct?
Yes.
So
it's beautifying the cultivator or whatever.
Okay, so it's just planting some trees in front of the barn. That's about the size of it.
Again. It doesn't get more specific than that. However, I did not do additional research to see if this is further defined. Commissioner Poole.
Sarah.
Yes.
Can you please remind me as to why we're trying to discuss an amendment about retail sales and how that gets into this expenditure of money?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, the money is generated if we talk about cultivators and warehousing and all kinds of stuff too.
It is. That's correct.
That's the significant big money.
Well, that property tax.
It may be. I'm not certain.
Well, that property tax.
How are we? We're trying to decide. We have an establishment already that sells. The purpose of this discussion amendment is to stick on that one subject. Do we want more?
Okay.
And I think that's a pretty straightforward, simple thing. I don't think money gets into that.
I would disagree. I think that the revenue that would be received by the town by allowing additional retail establishments is material and part of the discussion. But
Do we know how much property tax the botanist you get from the botanist? We have one way or the other, they have to pay the town of Montville property tax. That's when,
what's the name?
Lucy Beach wants her money, she wants her money.
That's actually irrelevant.
That's irrelevant.
Right.
Totally irrelevant.
So just to let you know, if I may, the 3% tax right now is only on retail and hybrid.
Sales tax.
Tax benefits to the town from maybe cultivators would be based on
property tax.
The building, inventory, and I know that Attorney Heller spoke to you a little bit about that, about the establishment of Colchester and the amount of the tax base, to increase the tax base in that way. I mean, clearly the botanist is paying property taxes, right? And perhaps on their inventory, and I don't know the answer to that because that's up to the assessor. But I can tell you that the 3% is for sales.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Parts of the sales tax.
Yeah.
You know, we got like an unlawful sales tax altogether. Because the Stedicut gets their cut and the town of Montville gets their cut.
Correct. So the Department of Revenue Services collects the sales information.
Yes.
Then they send the information to the town of Montville, and then Montville bills the botanist, which also goes under a different LLC, and the botanist sends us a check based on the state of Connecticut telling us what the sales are.
Thanks, Liz. Commissioner Longton's been patiently waiting.
Yes, it's Commissioner Longton speaking. I have two things. One, the discussion about how much money who makes is irrelevant to this discussion here. This is about whether or not to prohibit retail or hybrid cannabis establishments, period. Now, question for Liz. We originally started this whole thing with a moratorium to buy time for this commission to study and see what is the proper way to handle this in terms of benefit for the town, benefit for the people, what regulations would be required. So my question is, if we deny this application, does that move the question of the retail and the hybrid back under the moratorium, which will then be considered in November?
Yes. So if this is denied, okay, if this is denied, you can still consider regulations for regulating retail and hybrid. And in fact, I drafted a set of regulations with our town attorney that I've handed out a couple of times. And, you know, one thing, when we started this in June, we were going to start going through section by section, but immediately there was the motion to prohibit it, and that's where it ended. So if this is denied tonight, it would go back to the table. You would be reviewing those draft regulations that I wrote regarding regulating all cannabis establishments, including retail and hybrid retail. And you could draft regulations that would put, you know, restrictions on them, you know, that would regulate them.
Which is what we wanted to do in the first place.
Yes, but
this motion short-circuited that.
Correct.
And carved these out and said no. You know, and without us having the benefit of the time to study it.
Correct. But that was, you know, the motion was put out there in June, and I was instructed to write the language and put together a proper application for text amendment, and that's what I've done here.
Personally, I want to use the time that we gave ourselves to study it before I say yes to, or no to anything. So I think we should deny this app.
Letting you know that it would still be on the table that you could regulate it. This
Thank
would
you.
Outright prohibit them.
Yeah.
Did you have a comment?
And we may yet do that in November.
You may.
Right.
You know? But at least then we'll know why.
So I guess what I would say on this is that we got about 100 days. So we're not going to get this done in three meetings. So if we're going to talk about this and have a commission discussion, we're going to need more than three meetings to get this done.
Well, we may have to have special meetings. Special meeting.
That's, but that's fine. We can have all.
June,
that's up. Yeah.
My plan was in June, and the chairman's plan was to take a section. You know, take a couple sections at a time and talk about them. I mean, certainly I'll resend them to you what we have so far, but. You know, that's the point of regulating it, is you can put restrictions on.
We also have the option to extend the moratorium, which other towns have done as well.
Right, we could extend it too. Okay. All right. That's all. Thank you.
I want to use the time that we gave ourselves.
Okay. All right. Last call for comments. Commissioner DeShano.
I just personally, I just don't see where it benefits the town. I mean, I would challenge any one in this room to give me three reasons that benefits the town for allowing more cannabis establishments, not using anything to do with the money that we get. What? I just challenge anyone. Give me three good reasons why. How it benefits the town. Even one.
That's what the 6 months was for, to give us time to examine that very question.
Mr. Kobolok.
I don't think there's a shortage. I don't believe there's a shortage. Anybody that can get it,
like I said,
is going to get it.
In November, we may well vote to say no. You know? But at least then, we will have had the benefit of the time and the knowledge that we gained looking at it and at all the details.
Oh, and by the way, and no one please say anything about the Girl Scouts getting good sales, because they were set up right next to the establishment that we have, and I'm sure they did very well. If you're going to be for it, be for it. If you're going to be against it, be against it. If everybody was for it the way they said, then we could all go out and smoke in the parking lot right now. But evidently you can't.
Okay. I cough too much.
But the point being is,
you know,
it's be for it for the right reasons. Give me a reason why it benefits the town. We already have one, and it can't be located any better. Right next to the public safety building and across from the jail.
Thank you, Commissioner Pacino.
Can I just add something real quick to that? I check the Department of Consumer website also often to see if anyone else has applied for an establishment here in Montville, and building has since the January.
Yeah, so it really is a moot point, you know, like...
Well, and also, you know, I spoke with the botanist, and again, this is just my conversation that I had, is that because now there's more retail establishments going on, you know, there's more availability. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in other towns, there's one in Norwich, there's one coming into London. Mm-hmm. So folks that could only go to Montville in January can go other places now. So
it's a great business.
So I was told it's not likely you're going to see more establishments. Well,
don't worry about
in
it.
But again, conjecture, it was a conversation, off the record conversation I had with someone that's involved in that industry. So
Thank you.
Take that for what it is, whether you're prohibited or not.
Yeah.
All right, third time's a charm. Commissioner Kobluk. Any comment?
No comments.
Okay. Commissioner Poole.
I would be in favor of this amendment as it stands and gives us the time to proceed with the other aspects of cannabis, cultivators, retail, transport, etc.
Thank you. Commissioner Desjardins.
Well, I don't believe in exclusive regulations, especially in zoning. When you exclude one thing, you start excluding everything else. Because then it said, oh, we don't want it in our backyard. That's all it is. Oh, we don't want it in our backyard. So I'm against this, totally.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Pike.
I am for it. I'm with Commissioner DeShano. I think we're doing fine with one retail establishment. I like the idea that we'll explore something that might be of higher revenue source, such as a cultivator or something like that, and that's not part of this. But I do support this.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Stell.
I oppose as presented. I think prohibition is not the right way to go for reasons I've already established.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Longton.
I oppose it as written because who can tell me one thing that we have determined since we started this a couple months ago about retail and hybrid cannabis that we didn't already know then. The purpose of us starting this in the first place was to give ourselves 6 months to look at all the details. You know, and we have not had the opportunity to do that. We may very well end up, after we have studied it, prohibiting it. But at least then we'll be able to cite chapter and verse why. If we approve this tonight, nobody on this commission will be able to tell you a valid reason other than personal preference. Mm. Why? Mm. So I oppose this. I want to use the 6 months that we gave ourselves to study it. And at that time, if we want to prohibit it, we can prohibit it. And if we don't want to prohibit it, we won't. But we will at least, every single one of us, be able to look in the mirror and say, I voted the way I did because I found out and I know this, and this. Right now, nobody that's sitting up here can say that.
Thank you, Commissioner Longton. So at this time, there are two suggested motions. One is a favorable approval, and one is a motion to deny the application. So I will entertain any motions at this point.
Madam Chairman, may I just also add that the suggestion motion to deny, if you deny an application, you must list the reasons for denial. I have not put them forward for you. That's something this commission would have to do.
Okay.
Can I have a question?
So,
or you can do motion to approve, and it could fail. I'm not sure. You know, there's so many ways of doing it. I'm not sure what the best way is. Motion to deny is better, or motion to approve better failed. May I, as a point of order, ask the mayor?
I'm sorry, I just heard there was two motions on the floor, so I don't know if you can't have two motions on the
floor. No, you have one motion at a time.
It's one or the other. So we have a motion to deny, but you should list the reasons, and again, you could have, if you do a favorable motion, that motion fails, you're going to have to do a motion to deny anyway. So, but you have to list your reasons for denying an application.
So that's one of the problems here. Point out by Commissioner Longton, we haven't addressed the action items, you know, the information, that the tangible information that we're supposed to make a decision on over the course of 6 months. We haven't addressed those items yet. Well, everybody's given a personal.
That could be a reason.
That's the reason I would give.
Are you making a motion?
We have to have a public hearing.
BS regulation.
We have to have a public hearing if we.
The public hearing is already open.
It's already open.
So
whether we approve or whether this fails, we don't have to have a public hearing.
We just had the public hearing.
I understand. And if we vote it down and we go into October, November.
Has to have a new public hearing.
Have to have a new public hearing.
Yep. Sure does. It's a text amendment application. It has to go through the public hearing process.
All right. So at this time, I'll entertain a motion to give a favorable approval to this application. So that means a favorable approval for prohibition.
I make a motion to approve application 23ZC2 to add new section 21B.1-2 prohibition. Isn't that the first motion? To make a section that allows prohibition.
The whole thing.
Well, then if we do that, then add a new section also as part of that, 21B.2.1AB, prohibit retail cannabis establishments with an effective date of August 28th, 2023.
Okay. Having made the motion, is there a second?
Well, we have to have a second.
Well, we do not.
No, we do not.
Well, what do you mean? If you open put a motion on the table.
We won't vote
and then
on
you
it.
Have
if
a
there's
second.
No second,
you can't
if
do
there's
nothing.
No second, you don't bring
there's no
vote
second.
For a vote.
There's no second. There's no discussion.
Yes.
Right. Correct.
Okay. So the motion has failed. Thank you.
So do you back want to make a motion to deny the application? You could now do that. You could do the second motion. So now that that one has failed, you could make the second motion to deny the application and list the reasons.
That's correct.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
I make a motion to deny application 23ZC2 to add new section 21B.1-2, prohibition, and new section 21B.2.1A-B, prohibit retail cannabis establishments for the following reasons. And the reason that I would list is that we have not yet addressed the pros and cons which are necessary to make such a decision.
Second to that motion.
Okay. Any further discussion before we take a vote?
So the question is, who now gets the action items? The town planner? Who was responsible for getting these action items that we can discuss as a commission?
Well, we started having the discussion.
Right.
And
so,
it was immediately sort of shut down.
Liz has drafted proposed regulations. The next step will now be for this commission to work through them point by point to determine if we want to make any changes or accept them as is.
But there has to be an action item, right? Some kind of action item, right?
Right.
Okay, so who's going to take that action item? Are we all going to go home and do our homework?
Or is
the planning director going to do it and bring it
to
us?
So the action item will be to review the regulations that Liz has already drafted. Make notes, comments, questions, come back, and we will discuss.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I will resend the draft regulations, and then it can be added up to your next meeting agenda to review, and I suggest that we actually do take the time to spend a little time doing that.
Okay.
I would say that we should also be thinking about setting up a schedule of special meetings.
Yes.
Because it's a complicated subject, and we need to think really hard about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would implore everyone to truly do your homework, mm-hmm. read through the regulations, and make specific recommendations of things that you would change or strike from them.
Exactly.
Get a hold of them.
All right. Mr. Secretary, let's take a vote, please.
Okay, I'm for that regulation that says we are against it. DeShano?
Abstain.
Oh, Christ. Estelle?
In favor.
In favor, okay. Kobelik?
In favor.
Longton?
Favor.
Pike?
Favor.
You're in favor, okay. Commissioner Poole?
Against.
Against. Sarah is not here. Commissioner Lundy?
In favor.
Okay, we're going to be back to square one.
The motion is passed to deny
passed.
The application.
Deny the application, yes.
So the prohibition was denied.
Yes.
Correct.
Yep, sorry, back to square one.
Thank you, everybody, for your input. All right, moving on to old business, which is item 8A, 23 Site 5. 2040 Route 32, parcel ID 103/001/01A, Uncasville, Connecticut. The applicant owner is Hassan Hussein, LLC, for a commercial development of proposed gasoline convenience store facility and associated site improvements. This was submitted back in April and received the same month. However, it was postponed from the June and July meetings, and a 30-day extension was granted. Liz, what do you have to tell us about this application?
So, this application is for a gasoline station convenience store. It's been on our agenda for some time. It was submitted on 4/23. The receipt was 4/28/23. It has been tabled to allow the applicant and the applicant's engineer to draft various comments, some specifically relative to the Bacon PCA. This site is located just to the north of the Home Depot driveway, the one that goes up to Home Depot with Chili's on the left.
Mm-hmm. You said to the left of it, you said, or to the right?
Well, it's, if you're looking at it, sorry, so it's north of it.
Yeah.
It's going towards the north. Okay, it's that site right across from the hotel site. So, just to let you know, it is a development of a 4,960-square-foot Bestway convenience store facility associated with the sale of gas and diesel mills for projects on the western side of North Norman Turnpike, adjacent to the Northern Gap to Montville Commons. So, Attorney Harry Heller is here representing the applicant. So, I am going to, turn it over to him. But I can tell you that this application was referred to the Zoning Board of Appeals for location approval, which was granted on July 7, 2022. That has to happen. The Zoning Board of Appeals acts as an agent of the state of Connecticut in approving gasoline facilities. The project was the Montgomery Wetlands Commission approved regulated activities. There are some regulated activities associated with development on January 19, 2023. Uncas Health District made comments, but those have been addressed. The town engineer's comments have been addressed. The fire marshal and building official, WPCA, those comments have been addressed. State of Connecticut and full frontal permits required. You have a bond estimate in the amount of $31,800 that was reviewed and approved by the town engineer. We've been working with the applicant on several revisions to the plan, and I feel that I would recommend that it be the conditions, but I'm going to let Attorney Heller make a presentation so you can ask questions. Should you choose to approve it, I have a motion that does have some lengthy conditions. But I think that they would all be appropriate for this application. So that being said, I know if Attorney Heller would like to speak on behalf.
Thank you.
Good evening. Harry Heller, 736 Route 32 in Uncasville, representing the property owner and applicant, Hassan Hussein. The property is a 2.68 acre parcel. It is located on the westerly side of Route 32 between the northerly access to Montville Commons on the south and Padurga Lane on the north. The parcel is heavily encumbered by inland wetlands. It's a difficult piece of property to develop. Back in the late 90s, we received a permit from the Montville Wetlands Commission and from the United States Army Corps of Engineers to fill about three quarters of an acre of wetlands on this property because of its limitations and because it was a legally existing non-conforming parcel. There would be a regulatory taking if permits were not granted to allow development. So those permits were issued. That filling occurred under the supervision of the Army Corps of Engineers. And there was a 58-room hotel permitted by this commission on that property that was never built. So the property has sat fallow for about 23 years, and Hassan Hussein has come forward with this development initiative. The principals of this entity are the same principals who have just opened the Best Way facility out on Route 85, near the intersection of Route 85 and 161, and I think we can all agree that that project came out well. There is municipal water and municipal sewer in this location. The applicant, as Liz indicated, received a permit from the Municipal Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Commission for this project. This project does not require any additional filling of wetlands from that which has already occurred. We have had extensive interplay both with the Land Use Department and the consulting agencies of the town, including the WPCA, Uncas Health, and the town engineer. Initially, we had proposed to interconnect the convenience store to water and sewer utilities in Route 32. After it was reviewed by the WPCA administrator, he felt that there were too many conflicts with existing utilities in Route 32 and requested that we move those interconnections to Padurga Lane. That required a lot of redesign of the site. Again, because of the site limitations, it's very tight and there was not a lot of flexibility. So it required a redesign of the whole stormwater drainage system in order to accommodate the interconnection on Padurga Lane. But that has been accomplished. The site has a closed drainage system, which means it's curbed. It has catch basins. The water is collected through those catch basins and is pretreated with a storm scepter or a swirl circulator, which is designed to remove 80% of the total suspended solids from the stormwater stream in accordance with DEEP regulations. So stormwater passes through the storm scepter and then is discharged to a stormwater detention basin that's located in the northeasterly portion of the site. And that has a stormwater forebay, which provides additional stormwater renovation before it's discharged to the detention basin proper. And from the detention basin, it's meted out at a control rate by an outlet structure that is designed to attenuate all storm events from the 2 to the 100-year storm event. So this particular drainage design results in a reduction in both peak stormwater discharge as well as stormwater volume in each design storm event. When the water is discharged, it's discharged to a 42-inch culvert, which flows under Padurga Lane. It then runs through a stream system eventually into the ponds down at Fort Shantok Park and is released to the Thames River. So the stormwater designed for the project has been reviewed and approved by the town engineer. The stormwater system has also been designed to accommodate the 2004 stormwater quality manual requirements, which is the elimination of 80% of total suspended solids from the stormwater volume. And those calculations have also been reviewed by the town engineer. The project will access Route 32. When we were before the Zoning Board of Appeals with respect to the Certificate of Location Approval application for this project, there was a lot of concern voiced by residents of Padurga Lane because the initial design provided for ingress and egress off of Padurga Lane, and the neighborhood fairly unanimously voiced their opinion that they did not want access of a commercial venture onto a residential street. So the access management was redesigned, and we have a right turn in and a left turn in off of Route 32 with a right turn only exiting the facility onto Route 32. We have submitted with the site plan building elevations and floor plans for the project, and we have also submitted a stormwater pollution protection plan for the management of the site and the management of petroleum products on the site, spill response protocols, keeping spill response kits on site in accordance with best management practices. So this application is a site plan application under your zoning regulations that does not require special permit. And we have gone through the regulations, both the site plan regulations and the specific regulations for a gas convenience store facility. The application complies with all of the site plan requirements, and we have addressed the comments that have been received from your consulting agencies and professionals. And with the conditions that are proposed in the draft motion that has been prepared by staff that we have reviewed and agree with, we feel not only is the application in compliance with the zoning regulations, but it represents good development on a site that has a lot of development limitations. So it's very limited in the uses that this site can accommodate. With that, I'll address any questions the commission has.
Commissioner Longton?
Commissioner Longton speaking. Harry, I have two questions. Number one, has the traffic study been done and approved for the entrance at the north end of the property? I'm thinking specifically in terms of northbound traffic halting cars behind them, waiting for oncoming traffic to clear so they can make a left-hand turn.
Yes. A traffic study has been prepared by a traffic consultant that was engaged by the engineer. This is a state highway, so it's under the jurisdiction of DOT. We have submitted an application which is pending before DOT. They won't act until after the commission acts. If it ultimately is not approved with that left turn in, we'll have to modify the site plan to only have southbound traffic entering the site. But the application, as it's been formulated by the traffic engineer, requires restriping in that area to create a dedicated lane for the left turn in.
Okay. The second question was, do I correctly understand that storm wastewater will go under the street, into the stream, and out to the Thames River, so that it's not affecting the WPCA sewers?
Correct, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Attorney Heller? Okay.
Thank you
very much. All right.
So, as always, in our package, there is a proposed motion.
Okay. You got anything else?
I think my packet might be out of order, but I'm sure there is one.
It's here.
May I suggest it's a rather lengthy motion, and under the conditions, I would be happy to read it into the record.
That would be great, thank you.
If someone else wants to, there's 15 conditions. Okay. So the motion that's suggested is make a motion to approve application 23 Site 5 204 Route 32. Parcel ID 13-00101A, Uncle Connecticut, applicant owner Hussein Hussein, LLC for commercial development of proposed gasoline convenience store facility and associated site improvements in that the application supporting documents and a plan entitled Planning and Building Submission 204-Route 32, proposed convenience store gas station 204-Route 32, Uncle Connecticut, applicant Amir Chowdhury, prepared by Fence Engineering LLC, dated February 27, 2023, revised to 7/20/23, comply with all applicable sections of the Montville zoning regulations with the following conditions. Number one, any substantive changes to the proposed site improvements may require additional review approval by the Montville Inland Wetlands and Water Courses Commission and or the Director of Land Use and Development or the PZC. Number two, applicants shall meet all the requirements of the State of Connecticut DOT, Montville WPCA, Building Department, and Office of the Fire Marshal and the Uncas Health District for required permitting and inspections prior to issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance certificate of occupancy. Number three, the February 22nd, 23 SWPPP and the and that is Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan, just I shortened it up for the motion, and 328 SWPPP Petroleum Addendum shall be strictly followed. Number four, State of Connecticut Department of Transportation review and approval is required for any proposed work in the Connecticut Route 32 State right-of-way. Preliminary approval shall be submitted prior to the issuance of a zoning permit to start work. A suitably landscaped and screened area, a minimum of 10 feet wide or 6 foot high stockade fence, stockade-type wooden fence, finished side facing the residential district to be maintained between the site and adjacent residential lot shall be installed as approved by the Director of Land Use and Development and or the PZC prior to the issuance of the certificate of zoning compliance. I want to add the reason for that is the site is so overgrown, it's impossible to determine what a suitable screening is. So once the site is cleared, the applicant will come to us and we'll make a decision as to what's a suitable screening. Number six, all drainage structures proposed for the project shall be constructed and maintained post-construction in accordance with the application approved plan set and stormwater summary prepared by FEDIS Engineering dated July 6, 2023. Number seven, installation of all drainage structures in accordance with the approved plan shall be certified in writing by the applicant's PE, which is professional engineer, prior to issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. Number eight, prior to issuance of the zoning permit to start work, the soil erosion and sediment control bond shall be posted in the amount of $31,800 in a form acceptable to the finance director. No bond or portion thereof shall be released without prior approval of the zoning officer and or director of land use and development. Number nine, 17.3.1 GIS digital data in accordance with this section shall be submitted to the zoning officer prior to issuance of the zoning permit to start work. Number 10, there will be no propane filling stations located on the site without approval from the fire marshal or building official, annual building official. Number 11, future outside retail storage or display areas shall be located as shown on the plan. Number 12, all site signs shall require an approved zoning permit prior to installation. Signage location shall be identified in the field by licensed land surveyor prior to installation. Number 13, final revised plan sets along with a digital copy of the final plan shall be submitted to the Land Use Department, shall be signed and sealed with original signatures by PE, and I'll add, and I'll fix it after, land surveyor and the other scientists as needed. Number 14, the zoning officer will be contacted and pre-construction meeting shall be held at least 24 hours prior to starting the work. While the erosion and sediment control shall be installed according to the approved plan set and inspected by the zoning officer prior to starting the work. And finally, number 15, the final as-built plan, including finished grade, shall be submitted to the building officer for review approval prior to issuance of the certificate of building compliance.
So moved.
Seconded.
Any discussion?
Yes. Shouldn't there be a provision in there, since it was made very clear, you know, ingress, egress from Perdurjo, that during the process of constructing this, we probably shouldn't use Perdurjo also? What's preventing the construction from using?
It's part of the decision of the Board of Appeals. It's very specific to it. So, and the plan set that you're approving
okay.
has no access to it. But the ZBA made it very clear if there was a change to that, they would have to go back to the ZBA.
So they know they can't build it and use Perdurjo while they're building it. Got it. Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. Let's take a vote.
Okay. Commissioner Fortas. Commissioner Shano.
Favor.
Commissioner Stell?
In favor.
Commissioner Koblick?
In favor.
Commissioner Lockton?
In favor.
Commissioner Pike?
In favor.
Commissioner Poole?
In favor.
Sarah's not here no more. And Chairperson Lundy?
In favor.
Passed.
Thank you.
Long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to old business item 8B. It's 23 Site 7, 69 Fitch Hill Road, parcel ID 062-036-000, Uncasville, Connecticut. The applicant owner is Andrew Petrowski for site development with multiple warehouse office spaces. This was submitted June 5th and received at the end of June. The decision is required by the 30th of this month, and this was postponed from the June and July meetings as well. Liz, what do we need to know?
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty brief. Ellen Bartlett from Green Site Design is here on behalf of the applicant. She's going to make a full presentation to you, as she has not done so yet. This application did come in on June 3rd, and it's been referred. It was referred to the City of Norris Town Clerk in accordance with the statute 17, which is you must refer to municipalities within 500 feet of the site, which this is. No comments will be received from the town, City of New Orleans. The mock-up in the wetland description on June 15, 2023, includes proposed regulated activities associated with the project. Norwich Public Utilities was sent this application. I'll let Ms. Bartlett review that with you, and they have approved water service to that site. Uncas Health District, there's comments from Michael Kirby, Chief Sanitarian, dated 7/25/23. His revised plans have addressed his comments, but I have made that part of any approved motion to approve. The town engineer, see comments from David McKay, PD Boundaries LLC, dated 8/8/24. All comments addressed. The handicap parking space for the office building was allowed as an ADA accommodation. Does not comply with our zoning regulations, but as an ADA accommodation, it can be located. But the commission can provide that. We can do that in zoning permit to apply to allow for handicap parking spaces to be where there needs to be. So I just wanted to let you all know that. Fire Marshal made comments. They were addressed 6/22/23. The building department commented June 8th, June 26th, 7/28, WPCA commented 6/12 and 7/3, and the State of Connecticut DEP prior to issuance of a zoning permit to start work, evidence of approved State of Connecticut. The general fund to reduce surface stormwater and dewater and wastewater from construction activities shall be submitted to the zoning officer. A bond estimate in the amount of $88,495 has been reviewed and approved by the town engineer. I have made several comments, but the latest revised plan addressed the comments in my July 22nd, 2023 report. I do recommend at this time, I've spent a lot of time with the applicant, that it be approved with conditions, but we'll let the applicant make its presentation to you first, and then I can go over any recommendations.
All right, at this time, if you'd like to make your presentation, please state your name for the record.
My name is Ellen Bartlett. I'm with Green Site Design, and I'm representing the applicant.
Copies of this sheet, or if you have copies, you could look at it close up instead of trying to
them down for you.
Yeah.
This is actually... I'm not very loud.
Okay. It doesn't amplify, it's simply for the record.
Okay. The site is located on the north side of Fitch Hill Road and Leffingwell Road. It's on the east by, north by Trading Cove Brook. So this is where Leffingwell Road and Fitch Hill Road kind of branch. I kind of know what you're looking at, because driving down the road, you really just see this one small existing building in the front. The rest of it is all 50 feet lower in elevation than the road, so you really don't see it. The project is 34 acres, and approximately 9 acres of that is wetlands. You can see there's quite a bit of red on there. I mean, blue on there. And we've been to the Inland Wetlands Commission, and they have approved this project. The back part of the site sits down low, and the previous property owner did use this as a gravel excavation site. So it's been pretty well marred. A lot of this wetlands may have been created by that excavation. They just dug too deep and they hit wetlands. There's quite a bit of stockpiling still left on the site, but it's been a while. There's a lot of vegetation growing on most of the stockpiles. A good portion of the site is really pretty darn flat. The site has an existing commercial building right up front on Fitch Hill Road. Hasn't been used in quite a while, but Peppa's Landscaping has a zoning permit that allows them to store some of their equipment in this building. They also store some of their equipment down here in the middle. And as part of this project, we're going to pave their area and fence it in so that it's defined and controlled. I'm going to go through this phase by phase, because we've really worked closely with Liz to kind of work out how the phasing should be on this site. It's zoned light industrial, and the project proposes 3 new warehouse buildings that are allowed use under that zone. Phase 1A will be a 6,000 square foot building down here that will be warehousing for A and B excavation, which is owned by the owner of the property, Andrew Petrowski. And he's going to store his equipment, a lot of his materials, inside that warehouse. 1A, phase 1A also proposes a fenced-in area where he would do some outdoor storage as well, because he has a lot of forms, he has a lot of equipment. So we wanted to really define where it is, fence it in, and that's phase 1A. Phase 1B would be in addition to the existing commercial building that's located up on Fitch Hill Road. Once done, this whole building would be office space. Some of it would be rented to different people. It would be broken down into 4 different office spaces. Some of it would be used by A and B excavation. Some of it would be used by rental. Phase 2 of the project is just under 20,000 square foot building. And phase 3 would be the same thing, just under 2,000 square foot building, 2 buildings near each other. That would be flex space for warehousing. We anticipate that it will be rented out to contractors who have outgrown their garage, need a place to set up business, store their equipment. And we call it flex space because some of them may want 1,000 square feet, some of them may want 40,000 square feet. So as the rentals come in, they'd be breaking it up. All 3 buildings are going to have on-site septic systems. We have a conditional approval from Uncas Health District. The building up in front is going to tie into the existing sewer that is in Fitch Hill Road. So that does not have a new septic system. We're abandoning the old one. We're proposing to extend the existing water line 200 feet down Fitch Hill Road and then down through the site to provide fire service to all three buildings. This water line out here belongs to Norwich Public Utilities, so we send our plans to MPU. They reviewed them, and they also looked at what they could provide us for water flows. And not only can they give us domestic flow, but they figure they have enough pressure that they, if all four buildings are on fire at once, they can provide the appropriate fire protection to put those fires out. And all these three buildings down here will be sprinkled also, so they needed a lot of water. And NDPU did the hydraulic analysis and determined that they did have the water pressure to provide that service. Also in phase 1A, the stormwater basins that are proposed for the site would be built right up front before any of the building construction would be done. There's two proposed stormwater basins that also have large forebays. Each of them would work as a temporary sedimentation basin during construction so that if any silt gets washed in, it would be caught in these basins and treated before it would outlet towards the wetlands. These basins have been designed to meet and exceed the requirements of Connecticut guidelines for soil and sedimentation control. They're actually two times the volume that's required by the guidelines. Then once the project is completed, these basins would remain in place. They'd be cleaned out, and they'd remain in place as permanent water quality basins. And they've also been designed to conform to Connecticut Stormwater Quality Manual, and they actually exceed the volumes required by four times. They're good-sized basins. They both have four bays, and they will adequately treat runoff from this site once it's done. The two basins and their four bays have been designed to provide no increase in flows to the wetlands. There's an actual small decrease in flows leaving the development area to the wetlands. No increase in flows from the site on this day. Because of the size of the disturbance, we're between 5 and 15 acres of disturbance. The project was submitted to DEEP for there, and I have to read this, their general permit for discharge of stormwater and dewatering for construction activities. We submitted that at the beginning of July. We should have that approval soon, and we will have to provide that approval before we can actually even start putting silt fence in out here. We have to have that in place. Under that registration with DEP, this site has to be inspected after every rainstorm that's a half an inch or more by a qualified erosion control specialist. Green Site Design will be providing the inspections out there. And we have to provide these inspections within 24 normal working hours of the storm event. That's so that if it happens on Saturday morning, we don't have to go out on Sunday and inspect. We have till Monday. That's the way DEP has written it. So it will be inspected. We'll write reports. We are required to keep those reports, and DEP may ask us to submit them at any time. Sometimes they do if there's no complaints and nothing goes wrong. Sometimes they don't even ask us for the reports till the end, when it's all stabilized. So in summary, the project's been approved by the Inland Wetlands Commission. We have conditional approval from UNCLOS Health District. We've addressed all of the town consultant engineers' comments and all of staff comments. The plans have gone through a number of revisions, and I think they're in pretty good shape right now. We've worked pretty hard on them. So, if the commission has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions from Ms. Bartlett?
I have something real quick. Just that there are actually rooms of office spaces that are coming up the existing, maybe four there, but there'll be six office spaces in the office. And originally, this was submitted as one application, and Ellen and I talked about this a little bit. When you start a project, and you're given a building from the start of work, all the work has to be done before we can sign the building. So you knew that the applicant may want, he wants to build his unit first.
Yes.
So that's why we broke this up into phases. So you have phase 1A. 1A is the building in the back. Phase 1B is the office space up in the front. And then you have phase 2 and phase 3. As Ellen said, all of the stormwater has to be constructed as part of phase 1. So regardless of, it has to be put in so that when the other phases are built, it's all done for it. So what would happen is the applicant could come in, get a zoning permit for phase 1A. He could build that. Once he's done that in stormwater, we can sign a certificate of zoning compliance, and he can move on to other phases and still use his phase 1 building. One thing I wanted to just note was, if you recall, P&H Construction Advanced Improvements up on Maple Avenue, they have this type of flex space. And what it is the building is built out, and as somebody wants to utilize the building would be sectioned off for what that person needs. So.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that.
So I just wanted to add that. I forgot to say something about the work.
Okay, thank you.
So just the
sorry, water. Commissioner Kobolek had his hand up. 1 second. Commissioner Kobolek?
What type of buildings are these? Are they steel buildings or?
They'll be metal buildings,
metal
yes.
Buildings. Yeah, okay.
Commissioner Longton?
The water is being supplied by Norwich Public Utilities?
Yes.
And the sanitation is on-site sewer?
On-site sewer for these three buildings. The one in the front, we're going to tie into the sewer line that is actually in Fitchhill Road. It's right in front of it, so we're going to tie it into that and abandon the septic system in the well.
Okay.
Any other questions from Ms. Bartlett?
So I do have a question. What about hazardous material? What are the provisions for hazardous material, why this is being done?
During the construction?
Yeah. Is there anything in the permit?
We do have we did a pollution prevention plan that was submitted to DEP. I can submit that to you also, because that covers what will happen. And there are, in the details, there's a lot of notes on what we would do if there's a spill, if anything goes wrong during construction. It's all part of the plans.
So you have portable containment, you know, lockers, whatever the case may be to contain. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much.
When do you think you'll be finished?
I'd say phase 1A might be done before winter. After that, phase 1B probably next spring, these two, the rest would start. And it's really going to depend on, if he's got a lot of people looking, he'll probably build these two buildings right away. And I've got one I just finished, a flex space in Waterford, and they're building it as fast as they can. Everybody's looking for space. You know, we've all, a lot of people have outgrown working out of their house in their garages. Nobody wants to see that in a residential neighborhood. So This allows you to get just the amount of space you need and not having to commit to too much.
One more question?
Yeah.
How will the building material be delivered? Will you come down Fitchhill Road or will you come off of Route 32?
Come down Fitchhill Road. In Fitchhill Road, it is about 1,000 feet and you're on...
There's Route 32,
yeah, Route
there,
32.
which you would turn onto. I don't know what the
North
name
New
of that.
London
is. Yeah, you go from Route 32. Yeah.
North New London Turnpike,
yeah.
Right there.
Yep.
And then almost immediately you turn.
Right. And then there's a sharp left and this sharp right.
That's right.
Yep. Are the trucks going to be able to make that turn?
Yes.
Oh yes.
Yes, we've looked at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did turning radius maps and submitted those to the town's consulting engineer, and he reviewed those.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so I will entertain a motion as outlined in the memo.
Again, motion to the application PZ 226-769-5-0-6-0-0-0, Mr. Connecticut application to discuss the new page 1A, 1B, 2, and 3 for multiple warehouse office spaces and associated site information that the application supporting documents Elevation floor plans entitled Office Floor Plan GK101, dated 7/19/23. Elevation plan GK103, dated 7/4/19. Floor plan 60/100, GK-101, dated 7/19/23. Elevation plan 60/100, GK-100, dated 6/12/24. Plan 8/100, GK-101, dated 7/19. Elevation plan 8/248, GK-103. And the plan is titled KB Excavation 69-6-0-Road in Montreal, Roosevelt, Connecticut, prepared by Greenside Design, dated 7/8/15, revised on July 25th, 2023, complies with all applicable sections of the Montreal zoning regulations with the following conditions. The applicant shall meet all the requirements of the state of Connecticut DEP, and now I'm saying to the record that will include the general permit, which is the short. And for what I told you before, which would also include that stormwater pollution prevention plan. So we'll have a copy of that. Norwich Public Utilities, Montville Building Department Office, the Fire Marshal and Public Works Department, the Amherst Health Office, the Fire Company Inspection, prior to issuing a certificate of zoning compliance. Temporary crushing to recycle existing concrete or other materials utilized on site as construction material requires a separate 30-day zoning permit. And be allowed Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. shall be prohibited on holidays. No processing or storage of construction materials shall be permitted except as shown on the approved plan with or without the issuance of the zoning permit. One of the reasons I said there's a lot of concrete there now, and there's some other rocks there from that excavation, and they're just going to crush it up and use the material on site and rebuild it. An approved zoning permit for each construction phase is required prior to the start of any work. Proposed uses of the site shall not be commenced until such times as certificate of zoning compliance and certificate of occupancy have been issued for each proposed phase as shown on the approved plan set. Upon completion of each phase, an as-built is required prior to issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. All drainage structures proposed for the project shall be constructed and maintained post-construction in accordance with the approved plan set. Drainage calculations, hydraulics, and hydrology report dated April 2023, revised to July 31st, 2023. Installation of all drainage structures in accordance with the approved plan shall be certified by the applicant's PE prior to issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. What that means is the applicant's engineer will certify that all of that drainage was put in properly. Prior to issuance of the zoning permit to start work, a soil and erosion and sediment control bond shall be posted in the amount of $88,495 in a form acceptable to the finance director. No bond or portion thereof shall be released without prior approval of the director of land use and development and or the planning and zoning commission. And I've added that because of the size of the bond, if there's a partial release of the bond requested, I'm going to most likely we'll come back to you in the meeting. So let's say some of the erosion sediment control is not needed. They would do a revised ENS bond and could ask for a reduction in their bond. I'm going to leave that, you know, to either me or the commission, but I, because of the amount, I would most likely send it off to the commission. Prior to issuance of the zoning permit to start any work, evidence of approved state of Connecticut general permit for the discharge of stormwater and dewatering wastewater from construction activities shall be submitted to the zoning officer. Number 9, final revised plan sets, along with a digital copy of the final plan, shall be submitted to the Land Use Department, shall be signed and sealed with original signatures by PE. I'm going to add land surveyor and or soil and soil scientist as needed. Number 10, the zoning officer must be contacted. The pre-construction meeting shall be held at least 24 hours prior to the start of work. Soil and erosion and sediment control shall be installed in accordance with the approved plan set and inspected by the zoning officer prior to the start of work. Number 11, after work is commenced, any substantive changes to the approved site plan require review and approval by the land use director and or the planning and zoning commission. Number 12, the final as-built plan, including finished grades, shall be submitted to the zoning officer for review and approval prior to the issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. And
so moved.
Second.
Okay. First by Commissioner Desjardins, seconded by Commissioner Longton. Any discussion? Okay, let's take a vote.
Okay, Commissioner Desjardins in favor. Commissioner DeShano?
Favor.
Commissioner Estelle?
In favor.
Commissioner Kobelik?
In favor.
Commissioner Longton?
In favor.
Commissioner Pike? In favor. Commissioner Poole?
In favor.
Oh, he's not here no more. Chairperson Lundy?
In favor.
to pass.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Bartlett. Okay, moving on to item 8C/9A, so old business slash new business, is 23 Site 8, 669 Route 163, parcel ID 038-056-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner is the town of Mottville. The applicant is VCP Mottville LF LLC for the proposed site development of a 600 kilowatt AC ground mounted solar array. And if you'll remember, the applicant from, or representative from Verigy, came and spoke to us last time and we had some questions, so they are here with us again. Liz, what should we know about this application?
Well, we're going to start with number A, 8C, which is a site plan application for a solar array to be constructed atop the patio. As you know, the applicant has been working with the town engineer and other town staff myself to site plan that meets the site plan requirements of our zoning regulations. And I feel at this point, other than a few minor things, they have done so. And I know that the applicant, the last meeting, went through the construction of the site. However, there were some questions about, who's responsible for, maintenance, who's responsible if there's damage to the cap, and so on and so forth. Now, understanding that this lease was signed in December of 2021. At some point before that, it should have come to this commission for an 824 review, but it was overlooked. So I spoke with our town attorney who suggested that we add it on after the fact. Okay, so that's the reason for agenda item 9A. And I've written two staff reports. One of them is relative to the site plan application. Okay? The other one is relative to the 8-24 review. And I'm going to quickly read through that quickly. You all have copies of it. Just to sort of remind everyone what an 8-24 review is. Okay? I've also given you a copy of the statute in your folder. So this is the Connecticut General Statute's 8-24 review report to town council for lease of town property for development of a solar array on existing capital landfill. The proposed new solar landfill project should have been referred to the PCC before being approved by the council. In this case, it fell through the cracks. With the advice of Attorney Matthew Willis, it has been added to the 822-23 PCC agenda as an after the fact review, as the lease for the project was approved by the town council on 12/23/21, and it was actually endorsed in February of 2022. It should be noted, as shown below, the PZ report is advisory. But if it is unfavorable, the town council shall approve it by a two-thirds vote. I just want to add, I spoke with the mayor about this, who was involved with the project, and he stated that under the NRES program, an array can't be larger than any municipal Eversource accounts that don't already have the solar incentive tied to them. That is why we chose to tie in town hall and public works accounts. So the bill credit versus lease, because as you know, there were some questions that came off at your last meeting that are best addressed in this review and not the site plan application. Concerning the bill credit versus lease, the financial benefits are essentially the same for the town, whether we go with the lease payments or bill credits. If anything, the lease completely eliminates any risk for the town that the solar array doesn't perform as expected over time. You get paid a flat rate no matter what happens. The fact is, we would have to put a lease in place with Verigy regardless, so the document that's been signed is always going to be relevant. Concerning the value of the project for the town, I offer my perspective on the issue, which is we have a capital landfill that's becoming an overgrown nightmare with no other economic use. I can confirm that. I have walked up there two occasions. The second time, after the first time, we had to get someone to go through with a loader and clear it so we could get up there. It's that difficult. Trees are literally glowing out of the cap at this point. There's no other practical way to monetize the property that I can think of anyway, yet Verigy is going to pay $40,000 a year to operate the array from a small footprint on the property. The site is not large by any means, and it's actually quite difficult terrain to work with. The two other bidders on the project, well qualified, offered less compensation to the town, so that's a good way to judge the market value of the property. Concerning the CAP's questions, at the end of the day, if the project causes any issues with CAP, it's Verity's responsibility to correct them. The project is designed so that there are no impacts to the CAP per the requirements of DEEP. Now, what I have asked the applicant to do, I have my recommendation, but I want to state it for the end, on what my thoughts are on this application and the reasons why I put my thoughts out there. I've asked the Verity folks to bring their engineer and some other folks here that perhaps can answer some of your questions from the last meeting. What I would ask you guys to do maybe is very briefly just review the project again and then let the commissioners ask questions and respond.
Okay.
Thank you. For the record, I'm James Serkanowicz. I'm the manager of permitting for Verigy Solar. I also have with me today Brad Parsons, who is our director of design and permitting, and Rob Bukowski with Weston & Sampson, who is the engineer for the project. So again, just to briefly review from the last time, this is a 650 kW AC solar array that is being constructed on top of the CAP landfill, surrounded by a fence. It is a ballasted system, so again, the solar panels will be mounted on concrete blocks that will be positioned on top of the CAP, and gravel will be put down to stabilize that. Before that work is done, the vegetation that has grown on top of the landfill CAP will be removed. And again, any vegetation that is preventing us from using the current access road will be removed and the road improved so that we can obviously continue to access and proceed with our construction work. The existing piles that were put on top, deposits of some gravel and other materials after the landfill was closed, those will be removed, and we did do some testing on the gravel, and we will reuse that if it is sufficient for either the improvement of the road or for the gravel that's placed below the system. And again, because of the nature of the CAP, none of this will be embedded into the earth. This will all be resting on top of the CAP, but is engineered to all the applicable standards. So I know there were some concerns about failure or concerns about the stability. Rob can certainly speak more to. They have a lot of experience and have been responsible for the design and implementation of many landfill solar arrays. So he can certainly answer any more detailed questions if you might have on that. Rob has also submitted, and we have already received feedback on the deep landfill disruption permit. So we did just receive an email correspondence today that they have completed their review, and they only had two questions, and they were very minor in nature, very administrative, wanting, I think, a signature on a document and just a minor question about the washout basin that was placed there. We have also obviously received already permission from Eversource for the design of this connection to the grid. The electrical connection will be surface mounted within the limits of the array, will be trenched and excavated under the road where we are outside of the limits of the CAP. And we did already receive permission and approval from the Inland Wetlands Commission for the trench work for the minor disruption within the upland review area. And the connection to the grid is consistent with Eversource design requirements and with the best method and really the only method for connecting to the grid in this corner of the property. Again, I know there has been some questions about the lease and if there are additional questions to be asked or if that needs to be addressed, I'll invite Brad to come up and speak. As I said, it's a little more in his wheelhouse to answer the questions. But those are the basics. If there are specific questions or any other outstanding comments that you would like addressed, I'm certainly happy to. But at this point, as Liz stated, I believe we have done a good job of responding to staff review comments, revising materials appropriately, such that if they can support an approval, I believe that any minor adjustments to the plan are strictly clerical in nature and not anything that would significantly impact the design of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions?
I have two questions. Who's going to be responsible to maintain that little roadway access that goes around up to the top?
We will be responsible.
So you'll keep it open during storms and stuff like that?
We will keep it open for whatever is necessary for the maintenance of the system, because once the system is up and running, it is incumbent upon us to have the system operating, since if it is not, we are the ones that are not, you know, benefiting if the system is not operational. So we will plow if necessary to get up there to the top during the winter, and we will certainly make sure that the access can be maintained at all times, because it's our responsibility to maintain that array.
Second question has to do with a potential landfill cap failure. Should that occur, an investigation reveals that the failure was related to the installation of the arrays, would your company be responsible to repair the cap?
We would be responsible for restoring to its the standard that the cap was put on. And if there were any other disputes on that, I know that there are, you know, provisions in the lease regarding indemnifications.
Thank you.
So I have two questions. I'm assuming that you've done your homework and there's a formal documentation that that has been capped.
That is correct. Mr. Bukowski can certainly speak more to that if you'd like some detail, but they did research on that.
I don't need detail. Second question is there a particular reason why the utility pole to the north of the exit of the transfer station couldn't be used versus cutting across the transfer station?
Yes, because of the angle of the road there and because of Eversource's requirements with how we have to tap to the grid, that would interfere with potentially with some of the operations within the fence line from the angle that you would have to cut across, whereas the current design keeps the poles coming in at a right angle for its tap from the grid, which is what Eversource requires, and then the poles themselves are kept along the perimeter of that access road so that the poles that are maintained and owned by Eversource, they have unfettered access to and is right along the adjacent gravel road. So there's no need as well to do any kind of stabilization, because they also do require that when they install the poles and when they maintain them, they have a stable surface to maintain.
So that tells me that pole to the north of the exit is not Eversource's pole.
No, it is Eversource's pole.
So I'm a little confused.
Okay, I'll see if I can do my
I'm a little confused why you can't use the pole.
Sure. Again, it has to do with the design. Because of the angle that this comes off at, what you're talking about, this pole just to the north of this entrance, is that correct?
The exit.
Oh, the exit over here.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying all the way over at the north end of the site.
Yes.
My understanding is you were going to cut across the exit last time. Is that not correct?
We are trenching. We're coming down the hill. We're trenching underneath the access road to the rear, which what is this? I believe the transfer station, and we are going underground. And then the poles, the connection is to this Eversource pole overhead. Two poles by Eversource, one pole by us, and from there
at the entrance.
Right at the entrance. That's correct.
I misunderstood you last time. I thought it was the exit.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
So I just want to be clear. I read the lease. Not that that's part of this our permission. That's town council business. But I am curious about if there's a cap failure. There's no language in that lease whatsoever that talks about who fixes that cap.
Brad, do you want to address that?
Good evening, commissioners. Brad Parsons, Director of Design and Permitting for Verigy. While there may not be specific language that addresses the cap specifically, section 11.2 landlord remedies, third paragraph, in addition to the foregoing, if the tenant shall fail to promptly cure any non-monetary default and such default created as an emergency situation or risk to injury to person or property, i.e. the failure of the landfill, injured property, you know, property, landlord shall be entitled to notify the tenant of its intention to cure such default. If the tenant fails to immediately take action to effort to such cure, the landlord shall be entitled to cure such default. The tenant shall reimburse landlord for all reasonable costs incurred by the landlord affecting such cure, including reasonable attorney fees incurred. So at the end of the day, the town has the ability in that section to remedy any cure there and thus charge
and hold you guys accountable.
And hold us accountable.
Thank you very much. That's it.
And that was the essence of the question I asked.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I had a question. What other towns in Connecticut do you know of that have developed a solar array on an existing capped landfill?
So I can speak to this a little bit, and I can also, Rob can come up and talk to it in more detail because he's actually done more of these designs in the state. But currently we are permitting not only this project, but we have a landfill in Middletown that we're currently working on right now that Weston Sampson is doing the design for. We also have a project in Deep River that we're doing the design for, and Rob can obviously come up and talk about the projects.
But I guess my question was existing ones now. That
oh, yeah, there's plenty. I'll let Rob come up and talk about.
I just didn't. There. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's Stafford, Bethel, North Haven.
Okay.
Numerous
any that
deals.
Your company has been involved with?
Specifically, our company, no. However, our founders were previously worked for Green Skies, and Green Skies has done that work previously.
Okay, so your company does not have any completed that your company has done as of yet?
Correct. That's a fair statement.
Thank
correct.
You.
Any other questions? Commissioner Poole?
No.
No? Okay. Thank you very much. All right. So we're going to address Liz.
Yeah. So I'm sorry.
That's
so,
all right.
Again, I just want to remind you, I have two staff reports, and I think we need to make the two separate motions.
Okay? Yep.
You can do the 824 report.
I would like to do the 824 first.
And you know, I have recommended a favorable report for the condition that I listed in my recommended motion, which are the Pratt project and the gap contribution of the existing capital info that will be maintained by the lessee, and that alternate energy sources such as, well, provides a financial benefit to the town. The gap reuse the landfill, and that alternative energy sources such as solar arrays are sustainable practices
and
conservation development. Those are my reasons. I think it's a good project. That's what an 824 pretty much is. It's not preparing a lease. That's for the lawyers. It's not for approving the site plan. That's for the site plan application. 824 referral is sending a report on the project, the lease agreement for that project. So,
as Liz explained, under normal circumstances, this would happen in a different order.
Right.
We would do the 824 prior to other things moving forward. Do you have a question? Or
is that the 824 report?
Yes.
Okay.
But in this case, we're a little bit out of order, so we're playing catch up. We're doing this after the fact. But at this time, I'll entertain the motion for the 824 approval as Liz has just read into the record.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay,
I make a motion to forward a...
She just read it into the record.
Okay.
So.
Oh, well, yeah, I basically just read motion to forward a favorable report in accordance with the statute for the lease of town property for development of solar array on the existing capital info shown on the plan entitled Town Montville Landfill Solar PV Development at 669-163 Montville, Connecticut. By Weston and Sampson Engineers, dated June 6, 2023, revised 8-4 for the reasons I listed before.
I'll approve that.
Second.
Okay, first by Commissioner Desjardins, seconded by Commissioner Stell. Any discussion? Okay, let's take a vote, please.
Okay. Commissioner Desjardins, for. Commissioner Shano?
In favor.
Commissioner Stell?
In favor.
Commissioner Kolak?
In favor.
Commissioner Longton?
In favor.
Commissioner Pike?
In favor.
Commissioner Poole?
In favor.
Okay, he's not there. Chairperson Longton?
In favor.
Pass.
The motion passes to submit a favorable report for this.
I want to add, I did also make a motion, I'm recommending a motion to approve the conditions of the site plan application. We worked on the applicants, we that I have to work out. My personal pet peeve, I keep highlighting it, is that they put photovoltaic on the front instead of PV for us dummies.
What?
So if anyone looks at the plan, they know that. So the final plan, I should say that. But there's two things I forgot to add to that motion. If you can read it again, it's 10, so it's less than 15. But I want to add that the applicant shall meet all the requirements of the state of Connecticut. The Montville Building Department, the Office of the Fire Marshal, and Public Works Department for required permitting and inspections prior to the issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. I want to add that to my suggested motion. The other thing I want to add to the suggest a motion that all work shall be coordinated and approved by the Director of Public Works, because as we discussed at the last meeting, it'll be done on days the landfills are down, so the transfer station is not disrupted. And then there's 10 other ones.
So, Liz, because the motion has some additions to it and it's quite long, would you mind reading it to the record?
No. So, number one would be the first thing I just read. Number two would be the work shall be coordinated with the Director of Public Works that I just read. Number three would be the final plan cover sheet shall be revised to show photovoltaic. I actually had to Google that, so you know that's why I asked. Final plan shall be revised to comply with outstanding comments. The assistant town planner dated 8/22. Erosion and sediment controls and post-construction maintenance of vegetation shall be monitored by Weston & Sampson or other third-party engineers. Prior to issuance of zoning permits to start work, a soil erosion and sediment control bond shall be posted by the applicant in the amount of $26,500 in the form acceptable to the finance director. Final revised plan sets along with a digital copy of the final plan shall be submitted to the land use department and shall be signed, sealed, the original signatures by PELS and soil scientists as required. 17.3.1 GIS digital data in accordance with this section shall be submitted to the zoning officer prior to issuance of a zoning permit to start work. An approved zoning permit is required prior to starting the work. The zoning officer must be contacted. A pre-construction meeting shall be held at least 24 hours prior to the start of any work. So the erosion and sediment controls shall be installed in accordance with the approved plan set and inspected by the zoning officer prior to the start of work. After work is commenced, any substantive changes to the approved site plan require review and approval by the land use director and/or the planning and zoning commission. Final as-built, including finished grades, shall be submitted to the zoning officer for review and approval prior to the issuance of a certificate of zoning compliance. So that is all conditions.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioners, Desjardins and Cole, any discussion?
Yeah, how old is that cap anyways?
I'm sorry, what?
The original cap, how old is that?
I'm going to ask Rob from Weston & Sampson to address that.
Yeah, hi everyone, Rob Bukowski, Weston & Sampson. I don't recall the dates right off the top of my head. I believe it was in the 70s, though.
Oh.
So we did a file review both within the DPW office, and we also did a file review through DEEP. To confirm, so the cap consists of about 18 inches of clay with topsoil on top of it.
Okay. I know for a fact that when you go up there to build it, you can make sure it's good to go. You don't want your project to fail.
Sorry?
I know you're going to, when you go up there and cut off all the trees and all the vegetation, you're going to check it out to make sure everything is kosher. Because I know for a fact you don't want to be building something there and then 6 months later. Down it goes,
Right. Yeah. Once the vegetation's cut, basically we cut it as close as possible.
Yeah.
We'll walk the site and see if there's any depressions or anything like that. They can't be seen now, but that's definitely something we do prior to construction.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay. Let's
make a note somehow that this oversight doesn't apply or happen again. To leases before they come to us.
Yes, Liz has had a lengthy discussion with town council and our town attorney regarding this process, and we're confident that going forward it will be done in the correct order.
Thank you.
How many year lease was this?
20.
Don't worry, you'll be dead.
I'll be gone.
Any other discussion? All right, let's take a vote.
Okay, Commissioner Desjardins is in favor. Commissioner DeShano?
Favor.
Commissioner Stell?
In favor.
Commissioner Koblick?
In favor.
Commissioner Longton?
In favor.
Commissioner Pike?
In favor.
Commissioner Poole?
In favor.
We're not here, huh? Chairperson London?
In favor. All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You as well.
Good luck. I can hardly wait to see that electricity flowing.
Yes.
All right, moving right along to new business, item 9B, 23 sub 1, it's 958 Route 163, parcel ID 046-008-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner applicant is the Nevar Company / Dean Fisk for a proposed two-lot subdivision. This was submitted in July and received August 22nd, and a decision is required by October 25th.
Okay.
Liz, what should we know about this?
I don't have a staff report today, but we have reviewed this plan. We've done an extensive staff report and sent it to the applicant for the things that we feel are deficient. One of the first things that we noticed was we do not believe it's a subdivision. We believe it's a re-subdivision based on the map references that were in the plan. So what we asked, that's not town staff to determine, to certify. So we have asked that the applicant gives a chain of title letter, which they have, and certify that it's a re-subdivision. Now, re-subdivision requires public hearings by statute.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's subdivision on the agenda, but it may change, which we're going to ask you to do. They have said that, their land surveyor says that it appears to be a re-subdivision. That's not good enough for me, but they're asking their title attorney to certify it. He just couldn't do it by today. So what I'd like you to do with this application is postpone it, and if it's confirmed that it's a re-subdivision and the office has time to notice the public hearing for next month, that you allow us to do that. So postpone the application, allow us to set a public hearing if it's confirmed that it's a re-subdivision.
Okay.
Then the agenda will be
where it is.
To show.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine.
Sounds
so
good.
We need to...
You could ask for a motion.
All right. Is there a motion to set a public hearing?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, Commissioners Pike and Desjardins. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, public hearing will be set, and the application will be postponed. Thank you. Item 9C. 23 sub 2 Old Colchester Road, parcel ID 037-006-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner applicant is Watch Hill Builders, LLC, for a proposed 6-lot subdivision. This was submitted August 4th, received August 22nd, and a decision is required by October 25th. Liz, what should we know?
Well, I would ask that Attorney Heller represents this applicant. And we're both in agreement that it's still being reviewed by me. It just came in. Being reviewed by me and the town engineer. Staff needs additional time to review, and we ask that you postpone that to your next meeting in September.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to postpone this until the next meeting.
So moved. Okay.
Second.
Commissioners Desjardins and Longton, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? It is postponed until our next meeting. Moving on to zoning matters, the zoning enforcement officer's report, please.
Here is Luca, assistant planner, intern, and officer. This month, I had 283 open zoning permits. There were 3 closed out. Field inspections. I issued 18 additional zoning permits. Currently, there are 298 open zoning permits. We had 5 new enforcement actions, 10 ongoing enforcement actions. We closed a total of 4 enforcement actions. 2 of those were new and 2 of those were ongoing. I had 2 wetlands complaints for enforcement actions. There were 3 wetlands applications before us. All 3 were approved at the August 17th meeting, and currently there are no ZBA applications before us. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, what's going on with the Connex box at 112 Black Ash?
Connex box, he had him moved forward.
Yeah.
It was on the neighbor's property. And then he is going to close it and make it look like a shed.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving on to the land use director report.
Well, I think you can see by our agenda what I've been working on recently. Some of those projects at 69 Fitch Hill took a lot of work. It was a big project. And the 204 one took a lot of work. And of course, I'm using on working on the usual suspects, working on with the FEC Committee, Council of Governors, to rewrite our styling regulations. If we have extra funds, we're going to have them help us, you know, perhaps write other sections of the regulations. We've had a lot of complaints where some regulations are vague, and they are. So we've asked the provide us with draft items, but we'll be working on that, and I'll probably bring you a draft of that to your next meeting. So we're busy. Programs all day long.
All right, that's good.
Like, all day.
But you're gainfully employed.
So I apologize for any typos in the state reports today.
Thank you very much for all that you do. All right, moving on to other business. Is there anything else? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to correspondence, of which there's also none. No need for an executive session. So would anyone like to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Commissioners Fitzgerald and Longton, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right,
long
thank
meeting.
You.
Resounding eyes. Isn't that a long meeting?
Actually, a lot got done.
Yeah.
Well, a lot didn't get done.